right, welcome everybody. On today's episode, we're going to be checking in with our special guest, Carl Caruani. He's the Director of Engineering with Xero, and we're going to discuss a pretty significant development with Microsoft Copilot, specifically the free version being shifting out of free mode for a number of tenants. And this is the free Copilot experience in the Microsoft 365 apps. So with that, welcome back, Carl. Good to see you. And I think you have some slides to like set the stage on this big development.
Yeah, thank you, Curtis. I thought it would be a good opportunity to also tie in Anthropic's recent announcement with their M365 connectors being available in the free tier as well. So we can kind of tie both those stories together. What does it mean? How it may impact how organizations choose to move forward. So here we go. So I went with this very dramatic versus thing here, but as we get into it, we'll see. It's not really a versus in certain situations. But there were two big moves that happened. Just this weekend, Anthropic dropped some news that they're expanding their 365 connector to all cloud plans, including the free, their free plan. So that means that from Claude, you can chat away and get insights out of your Outlook, your SharePoint, your OneDrive, and your Teams. There doesn't seem to have been a big announcement other than an X post that just kind of went viral in this space. At the same time, there have been some formal announcements from Microsoft around removing Copilot chat from Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and OneNote, affecting unlicensed users that are 2,000 seats and over. And this was communicated via Message Center. I think like one thing that I've heard is like there's been a lot of confusion around Copilot chat versus M365 Copilot. So I figured like before we go further into this, is kind of like get out of the gate, like the confusion, and really call out the difference. So Copilot chat is like the free tier. It's included with business subscriptions, but it's kind of limited in what it can do. It can see open documents and it can work with what you're working on, but it doesn't tie into, you know, Work IQ. It doesn't go into your SharePoint or your Teams or look across the entire tenant, you know, conversations you had. It's not grounded in that that larger data set. But that basic chat experience that is today embedded is being removed from Office apps from large tenants starting April 15th. And M365 Copilot, the paid version, that's the full tenant-grounded version. It is in your every collaboration, in your meetings. It is it intelligent and is live, so you can be on a call and maybe you joined late and you can ask it to recap what you missed, any action items you may have missed. It's real time. It also includes applications like the interpreter or the facilitator agent. And it is, of course, continues to be natively embedded across all the Office apps. So I quoted or brought in Lav's little face here, Vlad's face here. So he had an interesting blog post that goes over this extensively. What we're looking at here is that a Copilot chat is being removed entirely from Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and OneNote for users with over 200 seats. Less than 200 seats, you may experience a downgraded experience. They're talking about throttling at peak times, potentially using older models. But one good news is Outlook doesn't change. Your Copilot and Outlook will remain the same and remains grounded in your calendar and in your inbox. This is my understanding of the situation.
Hey, Carl, super quick clarification. I think you said 200, but you meant 2,000, right?
I definitely meant 2,000. Thank you for that, Curtis. Yes, exactly.
Cool.
Yeah. At the same time, what does Claude's free M365 connector look like? It's capable of searching into Outlook. It looks into your SharePoint, your OneDrive, your Teams, your calendar, and it is now free for everyone based off of this tweet or X post, I should say, that came out on April 3rd. I gave it a little test drive to just see what it looks like. And so here I am in a completely free plan. I kicked an off-the-cuff meeting, and I just chatted away for a few minutes. You'll notice that I had to kind of give it the join URI to get it right. But it was able to just quickly recap from the transcript and summarize key points of the things that I rattled off. So, you know, that Copilot meeting summarization that we're used to in M365 Copilot is quite available in a free version of Claude now. You might say, like, well, how does this work? Yeah, go ahead, Habib.
Yeah, sorry about that. I just had a question, like, around your thoughts around, like, organizations linking to Claude, which is kind of, like, outside of the, it's technically, like, what Microsoft calls a sub-processor, but, it's outside of the, you know, the general corporate M365, even though, like, a sub-processor is technically, I guess, within the confines. Like, what are your thoughts around orgs thinking about using?
I think orgs are going to be extremely apprehensive about this, especially those that are very security conscious. I will say I saw someone post about this on Reddit, and the amount of people that were immediately like, well, if it's free, you're becoming the product, and I don't want my M365 data training Claude. And there was a lot of concern. I do think where this does maybe make sense, I'm seeing it for my own development. Like, our dev team at Xero is currently using Claude Code. So they have Claude subscriptions. We felt that it was just a good product for them right now versus GitHub Copilot. It was the product we chose for now. And for them, that they're not in Teams meetings all day. So they're maybe not needing the facilitator agent, or they don't need those live recaps. They don't need some of the benefits that an M365 Copilot might bring. Tying this in, it's like, okay, well, they can piggyback on their Claude subscription to recap the occasional meetings they may have. So maybe in certain situations there's a trade-off, but yeah, you got to take a closer look at this. And I'll dive in. That's where I'm headed next. Like, how does this work? And kind of address maybe some of the high-level concerns that people may have. The first one is Claude's access into your tenant. Like, how does it connect? Are you just giving Claude the keys to your entire environment? The answer is no. It does use OAuth delegate access, which means that it is only asking for read access into your environment today on specific roles that are tied to the signed in user. So a user cannot access stuff that they're not allowed to see. Every Graph API call is scoped to that signed in user. So they're accessing only the information that they are allowed to see. And Claude can't independently go through like an app registration, grab things, you know, without that signed in user. Everything is an on behalf flow. This is maybe very deep, but I went into my tenants and to look exactly at what it is asking for. It's in the 20s, the delegate permissions, but they are all delegated permissions. So
just a couple of ones, eh?
Yeah,
exactly. It's funny because when you are trying to limit what access you have, you're trying to create like purpose-built permissions. So it looks like it's very overbearing of like all the things you need. But then when you have like the higher level permissions that have these rolled up, it looks like, oh, well, I'm only authorizing or consenting to two permissions, but then it's like those permissions can do a whole bunch of things. So it's like, we'll probably see this trend of like apps having a whole stack of like small permission requests, but it does look concerning when you first see this, like, oh, especially on the consent window, right? When you get the approve and you're scrolling. Yeah.
Yes. Like the grant flow that I saw with all the checkboxes, I was a little like, ooh. I did test this in a lab. Like, this is my own personal tenant, of course. But I was, you're absolutely right, Michael, that like you, if you're trying to follow the principle of least privilege in Graph, you end up cherry picking so many little things and you end up with a long list like this. This is just what it is. So overall, like the recap from an access standpoint, it does seem to be following that principle of least privilege using OAuth And what that means is that your governance does apply because it's going through Graph. Graph is still controlling what that signed in user is accessing through Claude, whether, you know, whether it's controlled by your sensitivity labels or your conditional access policies. And a last point here is you could opt out of ensuring that they don't use that data for their own training. So you can go right into the privacy settings and toggle off that nice little toggle there that says, do not train or improve Anthropic models on my data.
Is that defaulted on? And that would be interesting.
So when I signed up for the free version, it was on by default. Yes. So I did have to go and toggle it off. Good point.
I can see someone getting excited and next. Oops.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Really quick question, just to follow on what Habib said. I mean, if you're in the Copilot universe, you always live with this, sense of you're under the Microsoft boundary of data governance. And then, of course, when it leaves to Claude, you sort of that goes out the window. But when you talk to customers or even just people, you know, are they aware of that? Do they have like sort of deep concerns? Does that block them, or generally as a trusted sub processor, they're okay with that?
I've seen a massive apprehensions. Even that M365 Ottawa, there were people at the community day, there were questions even within Copilot. They were talking about certain models where Microsoft were like saying, well, it might, the data residency, it might not remain in Canada, it might go to the US. Mm-hmm. And they were concerned about that, like even from a processing standpoint. So yes, this is coming up a lot for sure.
Right.
And I'll say another thing. Recently, Claude did have a pretty important leak with their source code. And so that too is raising an eyebrow with Anthropic specifically and their practices. And so, yes, I'm showing, you know, the geek in me is showing you what's possible here. But there's definitely some deeper digging to look into. Yeah, go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, I mean, they've been in quite a few headlines, right? Because they even locked down OpenClaws access. So like people are using all these automation platforms to connect in and like having these long running processes that were like generating no real revenue for Anthropic. And so it's interesting that they give away the Office 365 connectors kind of for free, and then they lock down this whole ecosystem that was leveraging it as well. So
yeah,
sure, they're moving towards monetization and
yeah. Yeah, I agree. Speaking of OpenClaws, it's also interesting that they within a couple weeks of OpenClaw making a lot of headway with their capabilities and people buying Mac minis everywhere, that they brought in also the with like an AppleScript connector that can just take over my computer if I wanted to. So I can now do the same thing with Claude and have it really automate anything on my desktop if I really wanted it to. I did not enable that, obviously, but for now, I might go and buy an isolated computer and try it out. But too many personal things on my computer to ever do that. So the last thing I wanted to bring up is just like, and I've been modifying this matrix a few times in the past few days. So, cause it's, I'm still kind of trying to understand all the little nitpicks and things that are different and I'm thinking about it. But this is where I've landed so far is really, I broke it down and I wanted to really make a call out where a paid M365 Copilot license is still very, very, very much compelling, even though with a free Claude, you can now have a connector that can do that org data access. I think the free option becomes a little more murky and where you could potentially look at Claude doing some things. When you're looking at paid M365, I mean, for me, the live Teams meeting intelligence, having it there in every meeting, every conversation, capturing all that voice data in real time is still a benefit that only a paid M365 Copilot can do. Even with Claude's free tier, it's after the fact. It's doing it. It's grabbing your transcripts after the call. It's not able to provide insights while you're live on the call. You don't have access to any of the interpreter agent or the facilitator agent, the researcher, the analyst agents are not available. And lastly, the Copilot APIs are also incredibly powerful with the Copilot license. That we can have a whole other talk around the Copilot APIs alone, but the fact that you now have these very easy RESTful APIs that leverage your Copilot license to do things like retrieval or being able to grab your meeting insights and shoot them through a CRM without having to build your own AI engine, it's there for you. It kind of makes it so much simpler to build these agentic experiences or AI-enriched experiences on top of Copilot. And that is, of course, only available with a paid M365 Copilot license. That's about it. That's the whole, I thought like we can probably kick off into a discussion or questions at this point. That's all I prepared.
Yeah, that's great, Carl. The whole thing is really interesting. I mean, back in November, Microsoft, commits $5 billion into Anthropic, and, Anthropic in turn commits like $30 billion into Azure compute spend. So like the two companies are like seriously intertwined. The timing of this is kind of, sneaky and just, so it's like the elephant in the room is like, was this done on purpose? Did they time this sort of after Microsoft's announcement? Maybe it was just complete coincidence. It's unknown at this point, but interested in your thoughts on that. And, then the E7 bundle just dropped as well. And like, there's that comes into play as well. Are they trying to make that more attractive now to say, hey, we've only, I think the numbers were like only 3% of enterprises are buying Copilot. So, that's the other discussion point is like, is this just a tactic kind of to get people to commit and start purchasing?
Yeah, I saw those same stats that it was around 3%. And it got me thinking, like, if I had to hypothesize of why Microsoft is making this move, I think it is to kind of, paywall is maybe a negative term, but to kind of incentivize people to move towards that that paid license. It's a bit unfortunate. I feel like the free version does allow people to kind of, people that are apprehensive or haven't used AI at all, it's embedded, it's easy to use, it's an easy way to get people to adopt it, get familiarized with themselves with it, kind of train that new muscle of like, oh, I could go to this tab and ask it this question. So it's a bit unfortunate that's going away. And I agree, like now Anthropic's kind of like throwing this little buoy in the water of like, hey, here's this like free option if you can try out. So
I agree. I think the like to your point, with the just the adoption, like kind of kicking the tires with AI, getting people kind of used to it and stuff like that, and then also having that thought of like, hey, like I wish I could do more. Right. And then pushing that kind of discussion to leadership and stuff like that of like, hey, maybe we should look into, the M365 licensing and stuff like that. So the additional things that you can do, right, with all the agents and, edit in all the different office modes and stuff like that, too. So, yeah, definitely. I think it's definitely interesting to see, especially the fact that they selected the 2000 as the limit. Whereas you would think it would be maybe a larger number from like a larger enterprise perspective, right? I mean, in Canada, I guess 2000 would be considered an enterprise, but like in the US, it's like small business, maybe medium business kind of thing, right? Where larger orgs would be like in the, tens of thousands.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. How did they come up with that 2000 seat number as a good question. Go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to mention like in similar in the last couple of days, Microsoft announced a whole bunch of like models that they've released on the voice and Azure and the Foundry side. So like the MAI transcribe and voice and image stuff. So they're like creating their own models too. So you have like Office 365, you have Copilot, you have OpenAI, you have Anthropic, like this kind of circling of the three giants happening. So it's interesting to see Microsoft also building out their own models to kind of tweak. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like they're partnered, but they're also competing. You know, I saw a post, somebody said like, oh, Copilot is not an AI, it's the runway for the AI. And then you choose your model on that. I'm like, okay, that's a cool analogy. I get it. But then I'm also, exactly, I'm seeing what you're saying, Mike. And I'm like, okay, well, yes and no. I mean, there's still a little competition going on here.
Just to clarify, Carl, because we didn't really drill into it. The change that's happening is the free version of the Copilot chat is disappearing from the M365 Office apps like Microsoft Word, but it's still available as a free standalone chat experience, right?
Yeah, the standalone chat experience remains unchanged. I should have mentioned that. It's true. I touched on Outlook remaining unchanged, but it's true that the chat as well is remaining unchanged. Yeah.
If you're over 2,000 seats, then it's the same as it was before.
Yeah. Right. What do you think's the ultimate driver here? We could all speculate, I guess, on behalf of Microsoft, but is this sort of them trying to reel in AI costs per value? I'm assuming.
I would imagine that that's a big part of it. I wonder too, something else, and this is just me, but like, if it was maybe having like a negative effect, like people would try it and be like, oh, well, it doesn't know anything other than my document. And then it's like, oh, well, why would I upgrade? It doesn't work. Like, people don't understand that, like, you're trying a limited version and it's maybe doing more harm than good because it's not giving you a preview of like what it's truly capable of once it's grounded in your 365 data. I wondered if that was maybe an angle of why they're like, oh, well, maybe we shouldn't even do this for larger orgs because, you know, it's not really showing its true capabilities.
That's an excellent observation, actually. You could be right. And then people associate a bad experience with free, and that's not a good combination. We were talking just before we came on, jokingly, that if you're right around that 2,000 user mark for your tenant, things you could do. You know, one of the things I'm thinking is if you're forced to sort of like upgrade in any way, shape, or form, you can always drill into the statistics and see which users are actually leveraging this functionality, right? And make some good choices there if you're at the point where you're going to license some users with M365 Copilot.
You're right. I guess like if you do the quick math, like at $30, at 2,000, like you're like at $720,000. If you quickly turn on Copilot for your 2,000 users, you might want to look at seeing who's been actually using the free tier before flipping the switch for everybody, for sure. And I'll say, hey, you just gave me an idea, Curtis. I think that that's actually another advantage for a true M365 license, is that like the visibility in Admin Center is pretty good. You can see like where they're using it, what kind of apps, like where are they using Word or Excel. What I've seen with even the team licenses for Anthropic is like it doesn't give you an amazing picture on certain things. It doesn't show, especially on Claude Code, for example, it doesn't show me how many lines of code people are scanning or using. So I think there's some usage stats that they need to catch up on compared to what Microsoft can do with Copilot. That's been my experience anyway.
And last question for me. I'm interested because you actually went through the whole Claude M365 connector setup and ingestion and everything. How did it work? Like, how were the end results? As good, similar to Copilot?
If I'm being fully honest, it was the setup was easy peasy. Like, just a bunch of clicks. It goes through that the grant flow. I accept, redirects back in, I'm done. I noticed that it was I mostly tried out looking at recapping calls or meetings. And if it was a scheduled meeting that was on the calendar, it didn't have any trouble, but anything that was off the cuff or Teams to Teams call, it got a little, it wasn't able to find them. I had to reprompt it a couple of times. So I think it's, there's a little bit of work to be done there for sure. Yeah. But overall, it's impressive. Like it was able to get, it was able to grab conversations or find a doc or an email like just like you can with Copilot. Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah.
I actually enjoyed seeing all the granular permissions. And as a geek, I actually like that. I know specifically what it has access to, but I can see it being overwhelming for an average user.
Yeah. The security team going to approve it, because now it's every line they have to go through. And
yeah.
I this is like a personal opinion of mine, but I feel like that at that 2000 plus mark, I think folks are looking at E7 or they're looking at Copilot. I think this is an interesting option, potentially more for SMB or for folks that are less concerned about the data that's on their tenant and Anthropic processing it. We'll see how this plays out.
Yeah, and things are changing so fast. This whole landscape could look different 3 months from now. So,
oh my God, as I put these slides together, sometimes, or even that, you know, the blog post of getting all the information, like already some of the stuff that I was looking at from 8 months ago was completely outdated. I had to adjust and pivot. Yeah.
All right, Carl. Well, that was very interesting, super useful. So. Thanks for delivering the information, the slides, good discussion, and look forward to seeing you in the fall at M365 Ottawa.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, cheers.